John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Short words, deep meanings. What could be Jesus' meaning? The most obvious as a first interpretation or option would be this was a literal thirst. A literal thirst from dehydration, from the shock and the loss of blood, of one dying on the cross, slowly dying, suffocating to death. A second possibility is this could be a thirst for God. A thirst for God. Perhaps our Lord was recalling Psalm 63. For in Psalm 63 you read, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." So what do you see this psalm is doing? Everything within him, every sinew within him, every ounce within him is pining and longing and searching for God. And until he finds God, there is no satisfaction. There is no rest. There is indeed no arrival. So let's perhaps ask lost and found questions. What kind of things do you lose or misplace regularly? I do not know, for someone like myself who wears glasses, whenever I misplace my glasses, my whole world comes to an end. I call out to my wife, I can't see, can you help me find my glasses? I call to my children, and my wife and children enter my room and say, "Oh, Dad, not again." That's when I lose my glasses. When my wife loses her handbag, her world comes to an end. For many women, the world is in the handbag. And she'll call out to me and call out to her children, and we'll look for it, and we'll say to my wife, "Oh," and the children say, "Oh, Mom, not again." And we'll all look reluctantly for it. But she's the only one looking furiously for it. When my children lose their handphones, the world comes to an end. And I will say, "You're all right without your phone. There was a time when there was no phones. Remember that time?" No, they can't remember. Lost and found. How hard we look for something reveals how precious we treasure that thing or that person. So here's the psalmist. "Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you." Where? Why? "In a dry and weary land where there is no water." And could this be the deeper significance that Jesus is longing for God, his heavenly Father? And in John's Gospel, in the previous night recorded for us in John 13, verse 1, he had just told them, and you would know John 13 to verse John 17 is the final or the farewell discourse. Do us good as believers in God to read John 13 to 17. And it begins by leaving the disciples and going to the Father, because he has now finished his work here on earth and going back to his Father in completed mission. In his final prayer in John chapter 17, "I'm coming to you now. I do not know how you cope well with separation from your loved ones. And even I had to go for a week conference or a mission somewhere, I miss my wife. I miss her terribly." Can you imagine God's Son becomes the Son of God? The Word becomes flesh. He left the glories of heaven to come to the goriness of earth. And in one sense, he finds himself by humble incarnation in human form and is separated from his Father for 3 to 3.5 years. A week from our loved ones is too long. A year from our loved ones is too long. 3 years away from the glories of God and the glories of heaven. He longs for his Father. A third possible meaning of "I thirst" is Jesus thirsting for the thirsty. And where do we find it in his life, and where do you find this recorded in John's Gospel? We find this in his encounter with the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of this water, of the water that I'll give him, will never be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Samaritans and Jews, no love lost between them. And here is an encounter between the Lord Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And he knew something, or he knew everything about her life, that she had thirsted and she had hungered for the wrong things, because she had run from one man and one relationship to another man to another relationship, and in all perhaps there were seven. And why do you run from one thirst and one hunger to another? To find your identity and to find your security. And in those days, a woman without a man was a very insecure woman. Unlike today, where our women are educated and can work in the workforce, a woman in those days without a man, a widow, was almost desolate. And so she ran from one man and one relationship to another to find her security and to fill her thirst. And Jesus offers her nothing less than the waters of salvation. In that sense, Jesus thirsted for this woman's true thirst, telling her that her true thirst should be for the living God. And then in John 7, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. This was him foretelling that upon his death and resurrection, he will pour out the Spirit. Jesus is now lifted on the cross. He's thirsting for the thirsty, you and me, to come to him to drink the living waters that the Holy Spirit will give to us. So Jesus thirsts and our thirst. He hands over the living water of the Holy Spirit to those who are thirsty for salvation. And so notice that in John's recording of Jesus' life, the last thing Jesus hands over to us is not the gospel message, the good news about him that will be proclaimed from Judea, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The last thing that Jesus hands to us is the Spirit of God. The Spirit is handed to us to fulfill our thirst and our longing for God. What does this mean for us? A woman caught her husband in adultery one more time. One more time! How many more times do I have to catch you in adultery? And in that moment of anguish, in that moment of anger, she said to him, "You are impossible to live with." And why was this recalcitrant, repeated adulterer of a husband impossible to live with? She just said to him, "You are just a series of appetites." And by that, a series of sexual appetites. You're not a man, you're just an appetite. Is that you? Is that me? That was the Samaritan woman. Thirst after thirst after thirst that left her thirsty. Hunger after hunger, appetite after appetite that leaves you hungry. How long are you going to live this way? How long am I going to live this way? Always traveling to fulfill our hunger and our thirst, but never arriving. That's a terrible way to live. And as long as we live without God who created us, God, our Redeemer, we will always be looking in the wrong places for love and for life. And so as we come to the end of this meditation, about thirsting and hungering. There is the vice of thirsting. And the vice of thirsting is, repent from the vice of instant gratification. The world that we live in is a world of instant gratification. You know, in the lyrics of a song sung by a group that was really popular called Queen, I want it all, and I want it now. I want it all, and I want it now. And on your phones and our phones, in our 21st century, from the moment we wake to the moment we sleep and everything in between, did you realize? From the moment we wake to the moment we sleep and everything in between, with our phones and our gadgets, we are arguably or undeniably the most entertained generation of all time. And yet, we are the most easily bored generation of all time. How can we be the most entertained generation from morning to night and the most discontented and bored? Because nothing and no one can ever replace our desperate and urgent and true need of God, our Creator and Jesus, our Redeemer. And so repent of the vice of instant gratification. And in ending, pray and pursue and long and run after and thirst and seek the virtue of delayed gratification. In the movie Memoirs of a Geisha, the opening scene of this story in Japan of a poor fisherman, and sometimes you go out to sea, you catch lots. Sometimes you go out to fish, you catch nothing. And the words that opened that movie, the haunting words were, she remembers her dad, the Japanese fisherman, deliberately withholding food from them for the very precious that life does not owe you a living. And some days you may be hungry, and that hunger is a good hunger. For us Singaporeans and Asians who live in a first world country, who feed ourselves from morning to night, perhaps as we begin a new year, after this Good Friday, we would learn the virtue of delayed gratification. That some things will not be satisfied this side of heaven. But if we have the Lord Jesus, therein begins in us the living waters of salvation. In Him and to Him we run and find delight. In Him and to Him we run to find our life and eternal life. Let's go to God in prayer. We confess that we are weak and we are always thirsting and hungering for the wrong things in life that never fulfill and never satisfy. And we'll never find who we truly are, our identity, and we'll never be secure. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you came, you lived, you suffered, you hung on the cross for us, and teach us the true meaning of these words, I thirst. And whether they be your literal thirst from your suffering on that cruel and brutal cross, or whether you thirsted for the Father, or you thirsted for us, the thirsty, to find salvation in you and you alone. Humble us to listen to you, for you have the words of eternal life. Grant us, Lord, that we would repent from the vice of instant gratification, and grant that we would pursue the virtue of delayed gratification once we have you as our Savior and our Lord. We ask and pray for the Father's glory, for our salvation. Amen.